as a nation, we're better. As a people, much stronger. We're the healthier generation. Better choices, better health.
Better Health magazine, available for sale at all your nation distribution outlets.
But if I smile sweetly, she can tell you whether or not the smile is sweet. You can't see it, but anyway. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Right, good evening and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. I am your host, Dr. Renee Boyce, and it is a pleasure to be here. It is a little unusual for me to be in the studio so early in the afternoon because I'm usually hanging out with Gregston at about 6 o'clock, but no problem, Dennis. I don't mind sitting here with you for the hour. And I can't help you either if you faint, despite the fact that I'm a doctor. If you faint, I can do one thing for you. I will dial 511 and we'll get you shipped across to Martin Dales Road. I have in studio with me a lovely lady. Her name is Dr. Astrid Paris. She is a dentist. And we are going to be discussing all about the teeth and mouth and everything. But as usual, what we want to do is find out a little bit about Astrid. Tell me, who is Astrid? What does she do? What does she like to do?
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Astrid. I am a dentist working at Warren's Dental Services in Wanakari Plaza. I've been working there for 6 years now. Yes. And currently managing the practice. What I like to do? Very big fitness enthusiast. And that's actually where I spend the rest of my time after working out. That's what I love to do.
the truth is, this is the one thing I like about radio. Because I am rolling my eyes.
Definitely is.
Yes. My eyes are Astrid. You know, let me just tell you how bad it is. Whilst we were putting together the program and so on, I got a message from Astrid. I'm still in the gym, but we can chat for a few minutes. As a true Bajan, all I did was stoops.
That's my second home.
Oh, whatever. Yes, I'm actually speaking like that because I'm envious. I saw a picture of Astrid that I'm going to ask her to send me. All I could do was, I said, wow.
Yes.
I'm going to be like that when I grow up.
I do fitness shows as well, so
can
that's
you stop?
My second life. I'm going to stop there.
Yes, for those of us who are now embarking on their journey of fitness. Yes.
That's fine.
No, okay. So we'll talk a little bit more about fitness after. But let's start at the beginning. Yes. I was doing just a little bit of research and I recognized that teeth are actually formed in utero, the beginnings of the teeth. So I guess our first bit of advice would be to mothers.
The mothers, yes. Diet should be on point. Having your calcium, whether in form of supplements, whether in form of food, to ensure that the teeth develop properly and they come in when they're supposed to.
Okay, so let's start. You have your precious bundle there, your little boy or girl, or for those persons who are blessed, your little boys and girls. And we have to start taking care of the baby's mouth. Yes. I remember some people coming into to clinic wondering about the white coating on the baby's tongue and how to manage that.
Okay, you could try to clean it, obviously, wipe it off at that stage. That may just be residual milk or stuff like that, a little residual food. Trying to keep the tongue as clean as possible. All right, taking care of the bundle, obviously you're going to check for tooth eruption. All right.
When do we start?
We start around 6 months. Mm-hmm. All right, you start looking for the teeth. First tooth comes in, try to keep it as clean as possible. In this case, obviously, it's a little baby. A nice rag, clean rag, try to wipe it off, right? And keep it free from food as often as you can, obviously after every meal and stuff like that.
So you see in the supermarkets, the toothbrushes of various brands, right. You know, zero to 1 year and so on and so forth. Would you recommend at 6 months that you go ahead and use a toothbrush on that cute little tooth?
At this point, a cloth may be better. They may not tolerate the toothbrush just yet. Mm-hmm. As you get more teeth, obviously the mouth gets a little bit bigger, then you can go into the brands, the types that are age-based. All right. And then obviously at that time, the heads are going to be smaller than the regular size toothbrush.
Because the mouth is smaller.
The mouth is smaller. You want to get in. You want to get all the teeth as well. You don't want it to be too cumbersome for the baby at the end of the day. All right. So initially, wiping it out. If they're not comfortable, then as they get older, switch to the toothbrush.
Okay. And even as we talk about toothbrushes, mm-hmm. I remember years ago that we had a dentist come in to a group that I was part of. And the dentist had remarked that one gentleman was proud that he had had his toothbrush for about 2 years.
Wow.
So no. The recommendation, what's the current recommendation for changing your toothbrushes?
Every 3 months. And I usually tell my patients as well, and they know this, change it as after their cleanings. So once they come in for the cleaning, they know they should have discarded that toothbrush from before they even came to their visit. Get a new toothbrush for after. So, and usually 3 months, or if it is splayed. So if your toothbrush is going in all the brushes are going in all different directions, that is high time to change your toothbrush, even if it is before the 3 months. Because there's some people who use it
until
too hard, too forceful on their teeth. They're gripping the side of the sink, going in on their teeth, trying to get their teeth clean, and then toothbrush is splayed. So 3 months or up to the point it's split. Definitely not 2 years, because I don't know what is there.
As I live and breathe, the gentleman was very proud of that fact. 2 years he had his toothbrush. And there's another thing in society, I guess, where persons want to get that, you know, squeaky clean feeling, so they buy a hard toothbrush.
Definitely not. Definitely never recommend either a medium or a hard toothbrush. Only soft toothbrushes.
I had this, I don't want to say argument, discussion mm-hmm. with a patient. You don't need a hard toothbrush.
Exactly.
You're going to bruise your gums,
you're going to damage your teeth. Now, if you think about it, you eat food multiple times a day. All right, normally the suggestion is that you brush your teeth after every meal.
Yes.
When you do eat, what is on your teeth is soft, is mushy, is plaque, what we call plaque. You don't need anything hard and abrasive to remove something that's soft. And mucky.
Oh, it makes sense.
Right? You do something soft. All right? So what people choose to buy the hard toothbrushes because obviously the plaque eventually turns to calculus if you're not removing it. That's the hard tar to build up on the teeth. That is not coming off ever with your hard toothbrush. So you try to make your teeth clean, but you actually damage the teeth in the process. So soft toothbrush only. Mm-hmm. Always. To preserve your gums, preserve the enamel on your teeth as well.
Okay, so you start brushing the baby's teeth, getting back to when we start implementing these healthy habits. You start brushing the baby's teeth when you think that 6 month, 7, 8 month old can tolerate the brush because it might be a little cumbersome the younger they are.
Right.
And up to that point, it's okay to go ahead and use a rag and clean off the teeth. Okay, I remember that I had seen a child who had cavities. This is a primary school child.
Mm-hmm. Early childhood caries.
Yes.
So there's a characteristic presentation. Now, first of all, going back, why do the children get early childhood caries? What we call early childhood caries. So,
and caries is another word
for cavities. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby is coming along. You know, my baby's not sleeping unless I give them the bottle. Or they're not going to sleep if I don't give them the breast. Now, you give the child the breast or the bottle, they go to sleep with the food in their mouth. That stays there. And obviously, back to your work on that, cavities start to form. Then the child progresses. So it worsens over a period of time. Because then it may progress then to sleeping on the breast, sleeping on the bottle, then progressing to not brushing at night. So then there's a characteristic presentation. You have cavities on the front teeth, which actually darken. So then you tend to find they have these black cavities at the front. And then obviously, when we go in, there are cavities in the teeth in the back as well. Right? So that is from having the child sleeping with the food in the mouth the entire night.
And so we have to find other ways to console our children to get them to sleep.
Exactly.
If we want them to have teeth
water
in their mouth.
Water may be the best thing. If they need to have something in there.
Something in their mouth.
And you have to wean them off. Yeah. Try not to start it in the first place.
Yes. And so exactly what is a cavity then? How are cavities formed? Because I think that would be
The thing to start with.
Yes.
So basically cavities are formed, we all have bacteria in the mouth.
Yes.
You obviously eat food, as I said, multiple times a day. Now, the bacteria work on the carbohydrates and the sugars that are present in the foods. As they use this to actually create energy for themselves, in consuming the bacteria, using the carbohydrates, the sugars, they produce acid. This acid essentially burns holes in the teeth over a period of time. Obviously, this weakens the tooth to a point where you can actually start to see the tooth weakening. You see, eventually it turns into a hole, right? And that's where the cavities start.
Right. So, and I do remember that you can't always see from the outside cavities.
So people always go, oh, the hole only now started. Mm-hmm. That cavity has been there for a while before it has actually become so weak that it had to cave in.
Okay.
Right. So it starts underneath the surface and then it spreads.
Okay. Another thing about the tooth formation that some people always want to wonder about. Sometimes you see people with white spots on their teeth.
Right. What could those be? More genetic demineralization.
Okay.
So the tooth, obviously your tooth, it's contained your minerals within the tooth surface. If the tooth doesn't form properly, you have something called demineralization. So the minerals are not in the amounts they're supposed to be.
Okay.
So it presents as white spots. So it's usually actually a slightly weakened form of the tooth. So the patients have to be aware that, you know, you have a slightly higher risk for getting cavities.
Okay, because that area is a little thinner.
It's not formed as strong as it should be, right? You can have weak spots for other reasons. If it's a kid who may have had trauma, they fell off the bike or injured the mouth. Sometimes if the injury occurs at the point where their permanent tooth is forming, you can have an effect on the permanent tooth as it comes in. So it may come in with a white spot, a yellow spot, but that would be due to trauma. So that's obviously something. Not everyone, but
that's one of the possibilities.
Yeah.
Okay, so at 6 weeks, we have 6 weeks, 6 months, we get our first tooth erupting and everybody's taking pictures and my baby has a tooth. And then when do we start getting the secondary teeth?
Right. So 6 years of age, usually that's the average time period. Obviously, there are some kids who may get them. I have a kid who came 4 years old. He had his permanent teeth already, but usually average age 6 years. That usually starts with two things. You have the molars coming in the back. So most parents don't realize, because it's a tooth that comes in without you losing a baby tooth.
Yes.
So comes in behind the primary teeth. Then you have the lower front teeth. They shake and they come up.
Right. So that's when the children have this big gap at the front.
Exactly. Right. So you have the first molar coming in at six in the back. And then the primary front teeth, those fall out eventually, and then the permanent teeth come in.
They come in. And I've said to people, including my own children, these are the only teeth
that you're going to have.
I'm not buying any for you.
Because once those primary teeth are gone, that's it.
That is it. I remember my father remarking that when his mom, my grandmother, died, she was only missing two teeth,
right?
And she died in her 80s.
And that is quite possible.
Yes, if you take care of your teeth.
Exactly.
So let's talk about general tooth care. So we spoke about trying to prevent cavities by brushing. The appropriate texture of toothbrush would be soft.
Soft toothbrush.
Is there a particular angle at which to...
Right, definitely. You should be, right. So along with your soft toothbrush, circular motions, that's what we recommend. That's the easiest thing to get our patients to do. Circular motions. So half the toothbrush goes on the gum, half goes on the tooth. Because we also need to clean along the gum line as well. Because essentially, there are gum diseases as well. So not only tooth is in itself, the tooth itself, but you have gum diseases. So half the tooth on the toothbrush, half on the gum. Circular motions all the way around. Try to avoid scrubbing your teeth. As I tell my patients, do not use it like a scrubbing brush. We are not scrubbing the sink. We are taking care of our teeth. So circular motions, because what happens as well, it can become abrasive. You can destroy your enamel. You could destroy, strip the gums off as well. Your teeth become sensitive over a period of time. So you're trying to avoid another issue in the long run. So circular motions, soft toothbrush. You're doing this 2 to 3 times a day.
Right. I remember at school hearing that sometimes it's not possible to brush your teeth after every meal.
Right.
And if you have... You know, you eat your main lunch and so on, and the home ec teacher at that time had recommended, well, then eat the fruit as the last thing that you eat. Maybe for her that was a way of cleaning. I don't know.
We usually recommend a slice of cheese, actually.
Seriously?
That can actually increase the saliva production and try to help. But obviously, a thorough rinse. If you can't brush, a thorough rinse will help dislodge the obvious particles within the mouth. Until then, you can brush and do a finer clean, okay. More thorough clean.
So we are not supposed to let the children go to sleep without brushing their teeth.
You wake them up if they go to sleep.
Okay, so you see, on every show, there is usually something that the guest says that needs to resonate with the audience. So you want to say that again?
Yes. Do not allow your kids to go to sleep without brushing their teeth. You as well. Anybody.
Yes.
Nobody should go to sleep without brushing
your teeth. And if they fall asleep, wake them up, brush them, and send them back. And it will save you money in the long run.
Exactly. I always tell them, after dinner at night, you're finished eating, just go straight and brush your teeth. Don't even wait. Because the chances are you're going to fall asleep anyway.
True.
Right? Just, you're finished, go ahead. Go right ahead. So as I was saying, 2 to 3 times a day. After breakfast, ideally. I know most people like to brush their teeth as soon as they get up out of bed. Oh, it smells funky. I need to go brush my teeth. But essentially after breakfast. Even if you do it before, after as well, because you don't want to go through the entire day with food in your mouth. After lunch, if you can, and definitely last thing before you go to bed.
Okay. And we spoke about the circular motions, part on the gum, part on the tooth, half on the brush. I'm going to go home and practice that circular motion. Not that I don't brush my teeth,
but the only place we can try to scrub a little are on the top where you have the grooves, because you really want to get into the grooves of the teeth to ensure food is out of there. But once we're doing the sides of the teeth, whether it's closest to your tongue, closest to your cheek, circular motion all the time.
Okay, so somebody like me, my teeth are very close. There is very little space between my teeth. It is ridiculous. So let's talk about flossing. Yes.
Now, everybody should floss, even kids. So as I mentioned before, the first tooth comes in at the back of the primary teeth, which is your first molar. When that comes in, that pushes all the teeth together, the primary teeth. So before, when you looked into your child's mouth, you may see all the way around the teeth. That tooth pushes them together, so now your teeth are close.
And you're losing some of the surface area that you can't see.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that means food becomes lodged in between there. Now, as you get older, it continues. So flossing becomes important. We usually say around 8 years or so, you try to get each other into flossing, because obviously it's a technique. Everybody can't handle the technique initially. So, around 8 years old, you start flossing. All right, flossing gets in between. That's the only thing that can get in between the teeth. Your toothbrush wouldn't get in between the teeth
How about those interdental
floss? I ideally prefer, that's just a preference, the regular floss you wrapped around your fingers, you go in between. Because you have a little bit more control, you can get all the way down below your gum line. Most people floss, they let the floss slide in, they pull it right back up. You don't take it below the gum line. So you need to carry it as far down below your gum line as possible to get everything out from in between there.
One of the things about these programs, it highlights errors that friends and family would have been making. I've seen those kid flossers, the ones that look like a little butterfly wing.
Right.
So those are okay for the children?
Those are okay for the kids initially. But as I said, you eventually want to switch to the regular floss. Because you want to be able to, as I said, get as far down below your gum line as possible.
Okay. So one of the complaints that you hear from persons, when I floss, my gums bleed.
Right. So if you're not obviously outright cutting your gum with the floss, bleeding is actually a bad sign. And bleeding is a sign of infection of your gums. So as I always tell my patients, if you see bleeding, you need to continue flossing, because you can get to the point where you floss and there's very little to no bleeding. And that's the point we want to get to when we floss. All right. Bleeding is always a bad sign. It only takes 24 hours for your gums to bleed without flossing 24 hours to go without flossing for your gums to start the infection process. So flossing definitely must be done every day. As tedious as it is.
Most
people complain about doing it, it must be done.
Okay, so that's another one of those statements. You must floss. You have to floss 3 times a day?
You can do it at least once. Definitely at night. Get everything out so you don't go to bed with food stuck in your teeth. Because at night, that's where the problems start. You go to bed at night, less saliva in the mouth, less effect to help control the problems, the bacteria, the cavity, the acid buildup. So that if you have food in there, it's going to be one huge party at night in your mouth.
So the bacteria fetting.
Yes, at night. So don't give them anything to party to.
Crop over, correct.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. So we spoke about flossing. The other thing is the choice of toothpaste. Right. I like makeup. My friends know that I like makeup. I don't wear it every day. I just like it. It's pretty. And then when you go into stores, you see all the different brands and you see all the different colors and this one promising that, this one promising that. Which do I choose?
You look for one that contains fluoride. Definitely. Fluoride based to face above all. All right. The fluoride protects against cavities. All right. And kids, as your teeth are coming in, once you have a source of fluoride, it helps to strengthen the enamel. So your enamel is generally strong. But if you have fluoride present, you actually get a bond that is a little bit stronger. All right. And it helps to protect against cavities. The effect is not as great in adults, but you still get the effect of the fluoride to protect against cavities. So toothpaste, again, that'll be a preference based on your taste, the whitening ones, etc. But taste, your preference, once it contains fluoride.
Yeah, I can't do the foaming toothpaste. You know, there are some people that can't brush unless they got foaming. Oh. No, I can't do that.
What I would not recommend, one that is too abrasive. So, you know, there are some with baking soda and stuff like that. Those are a bit too abrasive.
Yeah,
on the
all
surfaces.
The size of your jaw.
Yes, so definitely not. You can also incorporate a fluoride mouthwash as well.
Oh, yes. We have to talk about mouthwash. We're going to take a break in about 2 minutes or so. But then what we want to discuss when we come back is the attitude of parents towards dentists and other healthcare professionals. So we'll talk about that when we come back from our break.
Nation, we're better. As a people, much stronger. We're the healthier generation. Better choices, better health.
Better Health magazine, available for sale at all your nation distribution outlets.
Well, we're back here on the early edition of the Better Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Renee Boyce. We're helping you to live your best life. And in the very cold studio, I'm going to say it every week that it is cold. Yes, because Astrid is sitting here next to me. And I feel so sorry because her teeth are chattering. Her lips are... So if you hear any mispronunciation, it's not because she does not know what she's talking about. It is because she's freezing. So that was just a plea. You know, for those who might be controlling the temperature in the studio. But we press on with dentistry.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we were, just before the break, we were talking about the attitudes towards healthcare.
Right. So what I find generally in Barbados, oral health is not really put on, you know, there's not upfront. People don't see the need for it as maybe their overall medical health. So in my practice, I try to push good oral health. I will try to explain to patients procedures, what's going on, how they can prevent certain things, because at the end of the day, they have the power to know, and they can use that knowledge to be better, preventative care. To the dentist now, in terms of attitude appearance to the dentist and then their kids, you know, we always try to foster a positive relationship and let them see it as a place where there's not anywhere to be scared of. You're there to help at the end of the day. So you try to actually have positive reinforcement with the kids from the beginning. Get that in their heads before they even probably go out into school, where they may hear a horror story from other kids. And then when they come in with the apprehension. So then you have to deal with that as well, right?
One of the things is that these events that happen in childhood last all the way into adulthood. I was discussing just after church this morning with a lady who gave me her own experience, and she had to have a procedure done, and the anesthetic was put in on the left side where let's say that the problem was on the left side. Mm-hmm. The anesthetic was put in on the left side, but for some reason the dentist went over and was attempting to extract the tooth on the right side, and since that time she was terrified of dentists until into adulthood, where she had another experience with a dentist, which happened to be a very good experience.
Right.
And she developed a relationship. It's the same thing that happens with doctors, you know, that relationship.
You have to develop that level of trust, level. They have to get a level of comfort when they sit in the chair. So rather than go in, bam, do your procedure, that's it, in, out, no explanation. You know, you form some kind of relationship, get them to relax, talk about something they like, try to get, you know, get into, not, you don't want to get too personal, obviously, but,
what's
you know,
your blood type?
You get them relaxed, and I find explaining,
yes,
what
I agree,
is going to be done.
Education.
Patients appreciate that, and they can make better decisions, and then they feel a little bit more comfortable because it's not a secrecy game. Oh, my tooth came out. Why?
Mm-hmm. Or how?
Or what caused it? So, you know, I try to explain everything that's going on as well. Kids, the same thing. And they always tell the parents, you know, keep them, give them encouraging words when they're coming. You know, they're going to get the tooth clean. You know, don't make it a horror story for them, because then obviously when they come in,
yeah, they're going to be petrified.
Petrified, and that's another drama in the chair.
And the other thing for parents, it has to do with us in medicine as well as dentistry. I think any contact with the healthcare system, here in Barbados, you hear it very often. You go down into town and a child is behaving badly, and you hear the parents say, if you don't behave yourself, I can send you to the doctor for an injection, or I can let the dentist take out your teeth. And of course, that sets up in the child's mind,
yes,
that this is something bad.
Yes, a horrific place to be.
So, no... You and like you said, it's not part of our culture at all. It's not part of our culture to do preventative healthcare at all. You only go to the dentist when the side of your face is swollen.
I can't do anything about it. Most people come, oh, how long has this been going on? About last year, this time, you know, or I only come in when something is absolute, like they can't do anything else about it. And then at that point in time, you're at the end stage.
Yeah, and then they complain about the cost.
Exactly.
Whoever said prevention is better than cure knew exactly
what they were saying.
What they were talking about. It applies to so many different sectors.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about health, dental health and chronic diseases. The dentist isn't just somebody that cleans your teeth, or the hygienist, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a different role.
They have different roles. So we can assess, you know, patients may come in. For something as simple as they come in to get something routine done, take their blood pressure, right? Chronic disease, hypertension, take their blood pressure. They said, well, initially, they may fill in the form to say they're not hypertensive, right? You take their pressure is really high. Take it again, you let them relax. Okay, maybe it's the environment, you know, it's not going on or whatever. So in cases like that, we may come across a person who doesn't know that they have high blood pressure, but they come, we take the pressure, we know. So we send them back to the GP first, let them get that sorted out, reassessed first, and then come back to us to get any treatment done. Chronic diseases, diabetes, big one in Barbados. When we look in the mouth, there are signs, diabetes in the mouth. So you got gum disease, periodontal disease, where your gum tissue becomes infected, it spreads to the bone. Start to lose bone, teeth become loose, they become shaky, and that's where the periodontal disease, and that worsens in diabetics, uncontrolled diabetics as well.
So you see, if you want to keep your teeth in your mouth, you try to avoid the mangoes. I remember once when I was, I don't want to say first starting out, but you know, when I was younger in my career and so on, a lady presented with a blood sugar that the machine could not read. Are you taking your medication? Yes. Are you eating what you're supposed to eat? Yes. So why is your blood sugar? The lady had, she sat down the evening before and she had a bucket of mangoes.
Wow.
If I was not sitting, I probably would have fallen out of the chair. Right? I would have hit the ground. Seriously? How can you know that you got diabetes? A bucket of mangoes, and to sit down and tell the doctor this is what you did too.
Exactly.
I couldn't believe it.
Exactly. So you got to control diabetes, know what you're supposed to do. And even coming in for treatment, most people come in too and say, oh, I didn't take my medication today because I was coming to the dentist. No. Unless it's a case where you have something, where you have a particular medical condition that we have consulted your medical practitioner about and they have suggested not taking the medication for whatever reason, then you don't take your medication. And that would obviously be discussed prior to the treatment. High blood pressure, diabetes, always take your medication before coming in for treatment.
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right? It makes everything easier. Obviously, with high blood pressure, you're coming in, for example, for an extraction. You're going to have bleeding. Throughout the procedure, you're going to have bleeding after. you need to have a lower blood pressure, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be going home and you're bleeding.
Gushing
uncontrollably, right? With diabetics, you, again, for example, extraction, again, you're not going to be able to eat immediately after, for a little bit after the extraction. So you don't want to get hypoglycemia as well. You want to take your medication, have your food as well. Eat before you come to the dentist. Again, unless there's a particular medication that was your advice not to take prior, and there's some,
yeah, maybe aspirin, for example.
Well, we can work with aspirin, that's okay. Fine, but other blood thinners,
warfarin,
Plavix, or stuff like that, you may have to stop a couple of days. And again, you always consult the GP first, because again, we don't know your risks for clotting or bleeding with the medication. So again, we always work in conjunction with the GP before we go ahead.
I remember that I was brave enough to have 4 extractions at one time.
I assume your wisdom teeth.
Yeah, I don't even remember which ones they were. No, I think I still have my wisdom teeth.
It was for
braces? For braces.
Right, your premolars properly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to die. Not from the extraction, but the bleeding. I had never seen so much blood in my life. Oh, yeah. Well, no, not as a doctor, but
yes, generally outside of that.
Seriously, I remember calling my mother. I'm like, "Mommy, this is it. I'm gonna die." Four
teeth. Yes,
that was not for the faint-hearted.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm sure you did that when you were younger.
No, I did that as an adult. Foolhardy. That was something ridiculous. I don't recommend to anybody that you get 4 teeth.
You can.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. Some people wonder then, we're on the point, we are talking about extractions though, if it's actually like the real cocaine that...
Of course not.
What? But no, this is a real lidocaine. Question, Astrid. Okay.
Lidocaine.
So we are not being given... illegal drugs.
Of course not. Of course not. Who were looking for it?
Yeah, those of you
looking for it. Please do not come to the office looking for it.
Looking for a fix of cocaine. So we're in with Dr. Astrid Parrish. She is a dentist. We're discussing various aspects of oral care. What is the most interesting case you can think of that you had in recent times?
Interesting case. Well, actually, this came in on Friday. Let me say that's the most recent case. Would it be interesting? It could be interesting. Got a call from Sandy Crest. One of the doctors at Sandy Crest called and said they have a patient there. She was cleaning the bathtub. She slipped and she fell. She knocked her tooth. So the doctor sent me the pictures. The tooth is pushed backwards. Front tooth pushed backwards. So I said, okay, send it over. We'll see what we can do. So came up, obviously she's bleeding heavily from the mouth and everything. So took the x-rays, it looks like possibly, obviously it might have been a fracture, but the patient was terrified. Well, she didn't want to lose her front tooth. It's her front tooth. She went to work, she's not come back with her front tooth. So I told her, well, you know what we can do? We can reposition it into place and obviously make her smell better again. So I had to obviously give her some anesthetic. And I pushed this tooth back into place. Sounds a little bit horrific, but...
It does?
No. So we push it back into place, and then we have to what we call a splint. So we have to keep them together.
I was going to say, you know, like when you break your arm.
Right. So you basically use the surrounding teeth to keep it in place now.
Oh, this is brilliant.
But I gave her the bad news. I said, yes, this is temporary now because, yeah, you're not mentally prepared for losing this tooth. But at the end of the day, when we come back in to take this splint off, you have to decide what you're going to do. And it doesn't look great. You might have to end up taking this tooth out, or you're gonna have to do a root canal on the tooth at the end of the day. But the entire tooth was shifted out of line.
See, this is why you don't do housework. Risks of doing housework. Losing your front teeth. I'm just being facetious. So you had this problem too, Dennis? Oh, go ahead, share with us.
Microphone came off the stand, knocked my front tooth out.
Oh dear.
That must have been painful.
Pay attention to pain.
Oh.
I was told by the dentist that I called, I'm not going to call his name, to put the broken tooth under my tongue in the saliva and get to him as fast as possible.
Right.
He had to shave the piece of tooth that remained there, put a cap on it. I came and stitched it in place, came back and went on air. I don't think anyone knew I broke it, or that I had my mouth with about 3 or 4 injections jabbed into it. It's a horrible experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting here, and you know when you're feeling pain for somebody else, you know, it says your stomach.
I try not to feel pain, but yeah. But you know, as you can see, this mic.
Yes, I can see how it could have happened.
Right, and you know, it's just a loose, and down it came, and.
See, reasons why you should not go to work: risk of losing a front tooth. I'm not advocating that people do not work or do.
Or beware of falling mics.
Exactly.
That sounds good?
Yes. Good. You would lose your tooth. If you think about it, you know, we're supposed to be here encouraging people to visit the dentist and all these things. We're talking about shifting teeth.
No,
yes.
But this is the perfect reason to say, go to your dentist.
I mean, yes.
Can you tell that my front tooth was knocked out by a...
No, you have a wonderful smile. So kudos to that dentist, whoever he is. Oh, you are just crazy. So we are talking with Dr. Astrid Paris about these broken teeth and all the other things that go on in the mouth. I think the thing that has most caught my attention, though, is the actual flossing down to below
the gum line
and not just the in and out slide between the teeth.
No, all the way down. Food is on there.
Yeah, but how do you get into those teeth that are so close? When I tell you close.
Wax floss technique. Wax floss and technique. So wrap the floss around your middle fingers, first of all. Mm-hmm. That leaves your index and your thumb free.
Yes, to guide.
Yes, and you can mm-hmm. guide it. Because most people tend to wrap it around their index fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're trying to use the same index finger, trying to keep the floss stable, but yet you're trying to use the finger. And then like, oh, I can't ever get behind there. So try it. Middle fingers, then maneuvering with your index and your thumb.
Okay, so this is advice for the general public.
Yeah. No sawing action either.
No
sawing action. He just started to saw.
Okay, so you know we're not supposed to saw our gums. We're not
just
supposed to scrub our teeth.
In. No scrubbing, yep.
And no sawing. These are not actions for the
conducive.
Back to the issue of fluoride. I remember somebody saying that children before the age of 2 shouldn't have fluoride. Something like that was going around.
Right now, honestly, well, because obviously there's the case of fluorosis, which is obviously a high fluoride content in the body and the effects of it. Now, with kids 2 years old, as I said, you can just wipe the mouth clean or whatever. But you start to introduce fluoride at a point where they can, they're not swallowing it as well, right? The products that are on the market are actually on the ADA approved fluoride amounts.
So even
unless
if they're
actually squeezing and eating this toothpaste continuously.
Which the children do, by the way.
Well, as I say, pea-sized amount initially. You need to use a pea-sized amount because the amount that you're going there is not obviously going to ingest so much. You can prevent the fluorosis. So people don't have to worry at this point in time because, again, the quantities are controlled to a point. Because initially back in the day, where people are concerned about fluorosis, there was a town in America where it was fluoridated water and the people didn't know. So that's how fluorosis came about.
Okay.
So you see these people with mottled teeth, so it's like this chalky white teeth. And they were wondering like what is going on. But then they realized that these people were not getting cavities either. So they have these kind of malformed teeth, but they're not getting cavities. Mm-hmm. So when they checked the water supply, there had to be something that was common to everybody. Mm-hmm. And when they checked the water supply, there was fluoride in the water. So, and it was at high levels. So then obviously they had to do studies then to get to the point where you can have levels that are safe.
Safe for everybody.
Safe for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's where the toothpaste and the mouthwashes are safe. Unless you're taking the mouthwash
and
guzzling it. Right?
Yes. I remember one morning, things in my home sometimes are very crazy in the morning, as I guess with most people. And we're rushing, you know, you're talking 4 different languages to 2 children and...
Yes.
You know, go and eat your breakfast, go in the bath, come here, brush your teeth and whatever else. And I'm there getting ready for work. And then I realize that in my mouth is this nice bubblegum flavor.
Yes.
I didn't realize that I had picked up my children's toothpaste to brush
their teeth.
To brush their teeth, my teeth.
Right, brush your teeth and bubblegum.
Yes, I went to work with bubblegum.
Exactly.
So that's okay as
that's
well.
That's okay. Yeah, bubblegum flavor. And there's also actually a bubblegum flavored mouthwash as well. So you can actually get your... Again, those are things to incentives. You know, children want to use something that's bubblegum flavored, right? And that gets them into practicing good oral hygiene.
Incentives. The timer. I came across a timer, a 2-minute timer.
Right.
For the children to use. So that's the recommended
time? Yeah, 2 to 3 minutes brushing.
You know that...
2 to 3 minutes brushing.
Dennis, you think that we should take another break because I'm getting to feel like I'm being persecuted. We're going to take a break again and we'll be back with Dr. Astrid Paris.
As a nation, we're better. As a people, much stronger. We're the healthier generation. Better choices, better health.
Better Health Magazine, available for sale at all your nation distribution outlets.
Welcome back to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. We are almost at the end of our show.
Already?
You see, I told you so. Yeah. I'm going to tell on you, yes. So when I was talking to Astrid initially, she was wondering, are we going to have enough information? What are we going to talk about? Essentially, she didn't. Yes, she didn't voice these, but I could tell that she was wondering what we would talk about for. And now we got another 19 minutes, Dennis? 19 or so? Another couple of minutes to sit down here and chat about teeth. What made you get into dentistry?
I ask myself that question every day. But honestly, it was like around third form after probably just visiting the dentist, because at that point in time, I was going to the dentist for my regular routine cleaning. So the dentist wasn't a place foreign to me. And it was just like, okay, do you want to do medicine? Knocking that. Do you want to do medicine or do you want dentistry? I was like, dentistry looks a little bit more fun.
I am not going to feel offended.
Looks a little bit more fun. So I was like, okay. Then I got into dental school and I saw the real thing. But, you know.
A buoy. Yes, because you have to do essentially some of the same things we have to do.
Yeah. So our first 2 years, I studied in Trinidad at the University of West Indies. So the first 1.5 years, we do combine medical sciences. And then we eventually split into the full dental program. So it was 5 years to get the degree and then a year of internship.
Wow.
Yes.
Six long years. Sometimes people have no understanding. I'm not saying that they don't think that it's a lot of work, but sometimes I don't think that people really do appreciate the amount of
studying it goes in. Because now most time, like for example, at this point in time, you is probably finished semesters finished. Most people have like 3 months home.
Yes,
we don't have that luxury at all.
And the other thing for us was that our exams fell before everybody's exams.
Right.
So whilst other people were on hall and they're going to carnival and whatever else, we're trying to study for exams.
Yep.
And friends. Then when our exams are finally over, they're upset with us.
Well, luckily I was on a hall only for medical students. So we tend to, obviously everything was kind of around the same time.
Oh no, I was on a regular hall.
We were on a hall with medical students. So, and we lived on the hospital, so...
Yeah. No. I lived on I enjoyed my life on hall. It was mostly great.
Yes.
Mostly great.
It was.
So let's start to summarize. Even from utero, when the baby is still inside the womb, the mother's diet is absolutely important.
Yes.
And it should be rich in what types of foods?
Calcium-rich foods.
Mm-hmm. Milk.
Yeah. Cheese. Milk. And then you can also have, as I said, supplements as well.
Okay.
Right? Your green leafy veg. A healthy diet at the end of the day is good for anybody. Your health during pregnancy, because at the end of the day, the mother's health can affect the baby's health at the end of the day. So a generally good diet, well-rounded diet would help.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I found that one of the big problems with, maybe it's just here in the Caribbean, that I've only practiced here in Barbados, but people tend not to know what medications they're taking. And I think back to a lady who is pregnant, some of the drugs that you take could affect your baby's teeth.
Exactly. Some antibiotics could affect the teeth, how the teeth come in, etc.
So it's important for you to know when you go and visit your doctor, this is the medication I am taking.
Even when you come in when you're pregnant, you come into the dentist, there are certain things you can't prescribe. So again, you have to know what some antibiotics could be passed on. And again, at the end of the day, you can pass on, obviously, things by the bloodstream. So you need to know what you can and cannot take.
Yes, I have had to practice some restraint when I ask that question. I know I should expect to hear, I don't know what I'm taking. I should. By after so much time, I should not be nonplussed star or surprised mm-hmm. by that answer, but it still happens. It happened yep. up to Friday. What medications are you on?
They can't see.
I don't know. Exactly. The doctor gave me a white one.
Yes, the girl, right? It's a white tablet. You know the white tablet? I don't.
I am not a pharmacist.
I don't know.
I am not a pharmacist.
Exactly. So you should always know the names of the medications. Luckily, some people do have it in their phones or yes. written down, and then you can actually make the note for it. Mm-hmm. But some people say, well, oh, I received something, but you know, I don't take that. I drink something on mornings to help me. But did you take your pressure to find out what it was? No, it good. I feel mm-hmm. good. And I'm like,
yeah.
But you know, it's a silent killer. So
speak it, Astrid. Speak.
It's a silent killer.
Because they're not listening to the doctors.
I have another young guy who came in. One tooth was in. He was in a lot of pain. And sometimes I feel it. I didn't know when to take someone's blood pressure. Right? So based on the questions I ask and the responses I get. And his reading was like 170 something. Young, very young guy. And I said, well, no. And then they get, honestly, you have to get past the point where the patients get upset with you. By the end of the day, you're looking out for their health. Yes, you're in pain for a toothache, but when you leave here and you have issues after, they don't
see. Yeah, that's your license.
Exactly. So I said, no, you need to go and get this sorted out before we do anything. I can give you some antibiotics, some regular painkillers, to tell you over until you get this sorted out, because at the end of the day, your tooth may be out, but you may not be here with your tooth. So we need to control that first, right?
Oh, that was very funny.
it's most unfortunate, but you know, you have to look at the general health of patients before you even just seeing it as, let me get this tooth out, get them in and out.
Right, because they're not a tooth. They're exactly, a whole human being.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You got to see them out. And they say, I want to see you walking back in here normal at mm-hmm. the end of the
not
day.
Not with a stroke.
Or any issue like that. So yeah, you have to be very careful and a little bit adamant about that in terms of taking the medication. And then sometimes you can tell who are the people who are compliant and who are not non-compliant patients.
Yeah, you can see them. And there are so many people who stop their medication without the consent of their physician. As a physician, I can say, I don't have a problem with you stopping your medication. I just need to be notified. We can have a discussion as to why you stopped it. Are there any alternatives? So on and so forth. Maybe a particular patient might stop a medication because they don't like the side effect.
Right.
It leaves a bitter taste in my mouth. Or when I take it, it upsets my stomach. So we can do something else. But don't just take it upon yourself to stop the medication and say nothing.
What I find too, a lot of patients say as well. So I say, are you high blood pressure?
They call it low pressure?
They say so, a little high. But I say, so do you take medication? Because I'm thinking, okay, well, it's just probably slightly over the average range. Then they're like, no, I'm on medication. Like, so then you do have high blood pressure. So you have high blood pressure, just see it.
As some people, for whatever reason, some for religious reasons, and they say, I am not accepting that I'm going to take the medication, yes. But the answer to that question is, yes, I have high blood pressure, exactly. Or yes, I am diabetic. You know how many people in this country got a touch of sugar? How can you have a touch of sugar? So we've spoken to moms. Another thing I remember about mothers as well, you have to get your dental cleaning early in pregnancy. You're not it's not recommended that you get cleanings later down?
You can get your cleaning, no. Cleanings are fine. Cleanings are fine.
Okay.
It's any other treatment. So we usually wait if it must be done, and it cannot wait, second trimester.
Okay.
Right? You can start, you can get anything done in between, in terms of fill-ins or anything that needs to be done.
Oh, we didn't talk about fill-ins, so we are going to touch on fill-ins. Let's talk about fill-ins.
No problem.
What are fill-ins?
So fill-ins, basically, you have, as we explained, you have the cavities, you have the holes in the teeth. You need to get rid of that. You need to replace the hole because your tooth is not going to grow back.
True.
So you have the more common white fill-ins that more people request nowadays is a resin-based material activated by light. So it gets hard on contact with a particular light we use. The older fill-ins, or what you would use more commonly in the older years, were the amalgam fill-ins. They're still used today. Some people still do them. Those are the silver fill-ins, right? Mm-hmm. And you actually take the cavity out, refill the tooth so that you can go back to chewing as normal. You don't have a huge gap in your
tooth. How long after you have a fill-in would you say that it takes before you can get back to chewing and eating?
Once the anesthetic has worn off, you're good to go. So okay. With the white fillings, the silver fillings, you would recommend at least 24 hours before it gets completely in its hard state.
Okay, right? And but what would make a fill-in fall out? Oh, that sounded funny, a fill-in fall out. Sorry, a bit corny.
You could have broken it. Again, you can actually get cavities below your fillings, and those can fall out because of that. If you don't take care of your teeth, so you come, you get your tooth filled, but you still go back home and you don't clean your teeth, you don't floss as you're supposed to, you're going to get cavities below the fillings. So okay, that's not the be all end. You still need to take care of your teeth.
Oh, getting see?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I didn't think about that at all. Okay. And what would make a dentist decide, okay, this tooth, no, it has to come out?
Okay, so you have layers. So there are different levels in terms of, okay, the cavity starts. It starts in the enamel, which is the outer layer, the tooth. It progresses. You don't get anything done with it, or you have poor oral hygiene. It progresses to the dentine. That's when you probably start to feel, oh, when I eat sweet, I get a little tingling here. When I drink cold, a little something going on there. But then again, you ignore that. You continue with life as normal, and it spreads to the nerve of the tooth. Now, once you get to the nerve of the tooth, that's when you get the characteristic toothache. My head is hurting. I have earache. I can't chew on this side of my mouth, etc. This tooth is throbbing. This throbbing, continuous pain. Once it gets to that point, you only have two options. You either have to take the tooth out, or you're going to do a root canal. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's where the point it comes in. Or if it's a case where you broke a tooth and you have significant loss of tooth structure, there's something called herodontics. If you don't want to perform herodontics, where you're trying to reproduce something that is like really far gone, then your tooth comes out.
So herodontics is a real thing, or just a thing
just
that
call it, just call it
because you're doing something heroic.
Yeah, trying to save this tooth, trying your best to do whatever to get this, to save this tooth. But there's some people who are adamant, I want to keep my tooth no matter what, and you have to perform something to get this tooth remaining there. Other people like, take it out.
Okay.
Just go with it. Right. So yeah, it depends on the situation you find yourself in.
And you can, in those cases, so for instance, if I was doing housework and I fell and there was too much damage to one of my front teeth and it had to be removed, what do you call that procedure? How do you go about giving me back
a tooth? Right. So you can actually get, the easiest thing you could probably get is like a flipper denture, immediate denture. So you can get to a lab, they can make a quick denture to fit in there. Sometimes you can... There are some cases where you can try to rebond maybe like the crown of the tooth, and that's temporary. Again, you got to let the patient know temporary stuff. Because ideally, you should wait like 6 weeks after your tooth is out before you do some kind of replacement so it looks natural.
Okay.
Do anything too quickly, it's going to look unnatural. All right? So you can have an immediate thing like a denture quickly, but that's fitted in the same day. And you wear that until, like as I said, 6 weeks, the area heals up properly, and then you can make something else.
Oh, something wonderful. Herodontics.
Not such as herodontics then.
I like that term. I like that term. I'm going to keep that in my file. So we've given birth to our baby. So we were going from the beginning, but we just went helter skelter. Okay. We've given birth to the baby. So 6 months, you start wiping off that tooth.
Yeah, keep it as clean as possible. Mm-hmm. Remember, not letting them get into that habit of falling asleep on the breast, falling asleep with the bottle. All the teeth start to come in. Get that small-headed toothbrush with the soft bristles. Get them brushing. Brush your teeth. You brush your child's teeth until they're about 6 or 7 years old.
Yes.
And then it's a kind of, you do it where vice versa. You start, they finish, they start, at least because obviously they're going to start asserting their independence. But at that age, you're still not supposed to be brushed. Some adult should be brushing their teeth.
So what about electric toothbrushes?
Do not recommend that in kids. Mm-hmm. Because kids will just put it on their teeth and just let it spin, and they're not moving their hand, they're not using it properly. Adults are fine because obviously you have more control over that. But for kids now, manual toothbrush, and they're forced to brush their teeth.
Okay.
And
focus. Supervised?
On it. Supervised. Yeah, as I said all the time, up to about 7 years must be with an adult. Mm-hmm. All right? After that, as they get behind, you're watching that. But even after that age, you're still supposed to check their teeth because a 7-8-year-old is not going to be as good taking care of their teeth. They're going to run in the bathroom 30 seconds back out.
Yes.
So you still have to supervise. If you're not doing it, check them, open, come on, let me check, go back in, go again.
I don't even bother to check because when I hear the pipe turn on and off, I know that you could not have brushed your teeth in that space of time. Go straight back in the bathroom and brush your teeth. I'm not even looking. I've not turned my back from the sink yet. go and brush your teeth.
Very much so, very much so.
Yeah, I know I don't intend to be taking you to the dentist outside of when it's necessary. Exactly. You need to take care of your teeth.
And then you start them in twice a year.
Twice generally. A year, yes, I was going to ask.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Twice a year is the standard period. Obviously, if you have issues, you come in. If they're people in adults, gum disease, I have patients coming in every 3-4 months to get their teeth clean. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to keep that gum disease under control. But generally, the ideal thing is twice a year.
The other thing I was going to ask, I know you're not an orthodontist, but what sorts of conditions would children be, we're talking about children, right. Referred for okay.
You may have a twisted tooth, a front tooth might be slightly rotated, or they may have what we call an overjet. So where the front teeth, the upper front teeth are protruded really far forward. Right, that would you would need to correct that because you have a higher risk of trauma. You fall, those teeth are out in the way. They're gonna you gotta bring them back in. Thumb sucking habits. A lot of kids suck their thumb. Have tongue sucking habits as well. Those cause what we call an anterior a bite. The mouth at the front. The teeth don't meet, so there's a slight. When they bring the teeth together, you see a slight space.
Yes,
right. That needs to be corrected as well. Sometimes there are cross bites where they bite. The teeth are overlapping in an odd direction. All those things need to be corrected and early treatment. Crowding. So you may see people come in with one front tooth slightly twisted at the front, forward out of line. Those are cases that need to be corrected, that can be corrected from early.
I have a relative who unfortunately inherited, I guess, jaw structure from one parent and then tooth structure from the other, so that all the teeth can't fit in. Okay. Don't
you can
fit
have
in.
Your jaw can be too small for your teeth. basically, or you can have your teeth are really small for your jaw, so you have spaces, a lot of spaces. So they're two extremes. So you can have people who have don't like all the space in their teeth, so they want to bring them together.
Yeah, or I know a gentleman who did that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or they may have too little space. Teeth are crowded. They're fighting for space, essentially.
Yes, that's what it looks like.
Yes, fighting for space in there.
Poor thing. I'm sure his parents will eventually try to get it sorted out. Is there a problem other than being self-conscious? Is there a problem with not having a proper bite, like having an overbite or cross bite?
Yeah, you could affect your chewing, may affect your speech, depending on how bad it is, and then just aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because children are, unfortunately, they're not nice.
Exactly.
And I realized that particular thing about not being able to speak properly. I wore braces for about 2 years because as a child, I will admit on public radio that I sucked my finger. I really did. And I had an overbite and I had a rider as well.
Okay.
So I got me some braces. And I could tell, or I can tell, when my teeth have shifted because some letters are difficult to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, maybe I should put back in the retainer. should I put back in my retainer? But anywho, in our last 3 minutes, Astrid, mm-hmm. What do you want people to take home from all that we have said?
All right, oral hygiene is important. At the end of the day, you must take care of your teeth. These are new teeth that you're going to have.
Unless you buy them,
exactly. So brushing, flossing, use of fluoride mouthwash at the end of the day, getting your regular checkups you need to get them checked up because you're not going to identify cavities just like that. We can identify them for you in the early stages and get them treated before it gets to the point where you're losing teeth mm-hmm. or spending lots of money on root canals, crowns, bridges, all that sort of stuff. So good oral hygiene is important at the end of the day. Right? And oral health, in terms of, general health, take care of your health. Essentially, your teeth will fall in line as well. Take care of your general health as well.
I'm back to rolling my eyes again. Oh, sheer jealousy. Okay, I'm sorry. You guys out there, you're not going to get to see the picture that Astrid is going to give me. I was actually talking to a mutual friend and I said to her, you think that I can ask Astrid for that picture? Will she think that I'm freaky? But I just spent maybe half of an hour
just staring at my picture.
Oh dear. Yes, I'm a happily married woman. Okay. But it was oh my goodness me.
Yeah. She looked a lot of dedication.
Wow. Right? Okay, that's all I will say about that picture. The muscles, I'm going to look like that.
You can do it.
Yes, I must.
You can do it.
Okay. Well, you have been listening to the Better Health Radio Show. We were in today talking dentistry with Dr. Astrid Paris. If you have any questions, you can always WhatsApp us here in the studio. We'll get back to you. I didn't give out the numbers to call in. Usually do that at the beginning, but we missed that opportunity today because of the shift in time. But next time, I believe next show, next Sunday, we have the gynecologist back with us. And the topic should be heavy periods. So you can look out for that show next Sunday, 6 to 7, all things being equal. It really has been a pleasure being here.
Same here. Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Dennis, for entertaining us with your stories as well. You continue to have a good afternoon as well.
Thank you very much. It's always good to have company in an ice cold studio.
As a nation, we're better. As a people, much stronger. We're the healthier generation. Better choices, better health.
Better Health magazine, available for sale at all your nation distribution outlets.